Rashi in his commentary on the beginning of Parshas told us, quotes the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Chazayin, that interprets by Yivka Bamakom means that by Yivka's Loshen Tvilo, as it says in Yirmiyah, Al Tivka Bi. The Baruch Shalom tells Yirmiyah, he shouldn't be mispalo. So here it means that Yaakov Avinu davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by Yivka Bamakom. And that's where the Gemara has a tradition that Avram instituted Tfilas Shachris, Yitzchok instituted Tfilas Mincha, and Yankiv instituted Tfilas Arvis. That's in the middle of the sugi, but the Tfilas Arvis Rishus, the Tfilas Arvis Chayva, all of them, the Forshim, yes. Why is Yaakov's Takana inferior to the Takana of Avram and Yitzchok? Why should the Shachris and Mincha be a Chova? Why should Arvis be a Rishus? So, it's a lot of discussion on the topic. Then the Pnei Yeshua has his famous comment, Vayol and Shom Kivo HaShemesh, the sun set, so he figured he's not going to travel at night. The Gemara says on the first half of Sochem, it's not safe to travel at night. But it sounds like he davened Ma'ariv before it was night. So you see, you can daven Ma'ariv before Laila. So that's the Pnei Yeshua's Chiddush, that since Tfila Shachris is Keneged, Akrobis Talmud Shal Shachas. So you have to, Damash Shachar is doing this man that they would have been able to bring the Talmud Shal Shachar and the Beis HaMikdash. Tvilas Mincha is Mechuvin Keneged, corresponds to the Talmud Shal Bein HaBayim, so that has his man. Tvilas Arvis, there are only two to meet him every day. That's the reason why we assume that Arvis is Rishus. So there are only two to meet him every day. So Arvis is Rishus, so it's Keneged HaKtorah Seymurim. Keneged Hektach Halovim. So the Hektach Halovim wasn't only Balayla. It was Bayom also. The Hektach Halov Eivarim of the Tamash Shach and the Tamash Ben Abayim takes place all day long and all night long. Kol HaLayla Rabbeiker. They burn the Haktoras Haimun Kol HaLayla Rabbeiker. So that's what when Yeshua writes, Lulei Dibri HaRishayim, like he wrote on the first half in Kates of the Baruch, Lulei Dibri HaRishayim, he would have developed an idea that the Pichas HaNenim is their eyes. So he says also, Luli Divri HaRishanim, he would have said that you can daven Ma'ariv any time after you daven Mincha. You daven Mincha, that's Keneged HaKrovas Tamid Shal Bein HaBayim, and you daven Ma'ariv right away. You can daven Mincha, let's say, at 12:15. Then he says you can daven Ma'ariv right away afterwards. HaKtoras Emurim takes place. He says, isn't that what it says in the Pasuk? Oyiv Gavam Mokom, he daven Ma'ariv, Ayol Ansham Kivu HaShemesh. He reads it with a pause. He slept over because the sun set and he didn't want to travel at night. But it doesn't say Vayiv Gaba Mokim Kivu HaShemesh. It doesn't say that he daven Ma'ariv because it was after Shkia. It says that often arrive in the Torah that you can daven Ma'ariv before Shkia. No, we don't accept his opinion. The Gemara in Chulin feels that there's a contradiction between the Psukim here. It says Vayikach Me'avne HaMokim. He took several stones by Yosem Rashoisov. Then it says when he woke up in the morning, Vayikach HaSoev and HaShesom Rashoisov, he took the Eben Vayosam Oysam Atzivo. How come in the beginning it says there were several stones? Later it says Vayikach Es Oeben, the one stone. So the Mefarsh Machumish point that we don't fully understand why the Gemara thought that this was a contradiction. It says Vayikach Mehav Neha Mokam, he took one of the many stones. There were many stones in the location. He took one stone, Vayosam Rasha Esav, and when he woke up in the morning, Vayikach Es Oeben, Ashesam Rasha Esav. So why does the Gemara see it's a contradiction? We're not sure. But that's where the Gemara had a tradition, that he took several stones to put under his head, and all of a sudden he woke up in the morning, it was one stone, what happened? So the Gemara says, a miracle occurred. Each stone wanted a lay aniach tzadikis rosho, so a nes occurred, and they all blended in together, they all melted, the stones melted, they all blended in together to become one stone. There is a pika de Rab Lezer that the Mefarshim quote, that there were 12 stones. 12 stones correspond to the Yud Bei Shvatim, and they blended it together to indicate the achdus of Klal Yisrael. Each shevet is supposed to have its own Bezn Shalosh HaShevet, it's supposed to have its own Sanhedrin, and each shevet is supposed to do Avodas Hashem with a different style. Rabbeinu Shlomo appreciates variety, like we discussed last week on the Pasuk, Aseli Matamim. Balatani quotes from the Zohar like that. And just like human beings appreciate variety, you don't just want to have a piece of steak, you want to have all kinds of side dishes. So to HaKadosh Baruch appreciates variety. He wanted Yud Beis Shvatim to do Avodas Hashem in 12 different oifanim, but he still wants it. There should be Achdus and Klal Yisrael. Basically, the Taryag Mitzvahs, they're all fulfilling. They fulfill like this and they fulfill like that. It's Eilu V'Eilu Dibri L'Kimchai. So you have to have achdus and variety at the same time. This idea that all of the stones joined together, this Haggadah, is mentioned in the Hakdamah to the Mesilas Hasharim. He says, when the Rav Shalom created the world, the whole purpose of the whole creation was to serve mankind, to serve the tzaddik, from mankind who's going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything in the world was created for that purpose. The Mesilas Hasharim quotes a Medrash on Koheles, where the Medrash comments on the Pasuk in Koheles that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon, he took him for a stroll in Gan Eden, and he showed him all the beautiful trees and the whole beautiful world that he created. And he says, you see, I've created the whole beautiful world for you, and make sure that you don't ruin my world. And when man sins, and he ruins the whole world, so there's no tachlis and no briyah. So that's why when the Mabul occurred, so everything was destroyed. Not only the people who sinned, the whole world was destroyed, because the whole tachlis of the briyah was in order that man should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avelvela Soloveitchik, in his opening piece on Chumash, quotes the Rambam in Hakdomet Pirush HaMishnayos. The Rambam gives a mashal that imagine that there's an Arab sheik who built a palace in the middle of the desert. And what did he use the palace for? He had his girls dancing there all night and partying and drinking and shikering on. So what was the whole purpose of the Arab sheik's purpose of building the palace was in order to have his parties there, in order to have the girls dancing and so on. But the Ribbono Shel Olam has a larger plan for everything. So what was in the larger plan of things, what was the purpose of building such a building? So the Rambam continues with his mashal, and a scholar is traveling through the desert, and it's so hot in the desert, and then he's so exhausted, so he relaxes in the shade of this building, and he takes a nap in the shade. So now the palace fulfilled its purpose in the world. Everything in the world yearns to be involved in Avodas Hashem. And this palace, which was wasted for so many years, it wasn't serving Avodas Hashem at all, just the gashmias of the Arab sheik. So now finally it got its tachlis. So Rav Avvela Soloveitchik interprets the Gemara in the beginning of Avodah Zarah based on that. That Lasi Lova HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring the Torah in front of all the nations in the world. He's going to say, call me Shosak Bazeh Yova B'Yitol Skar. Whoever learned Torah, whoever supported Torah, should come and get their reward. So all the nations of the world are going to come. So the I already forgot what the Gemara says. The Romans used to build bridges. They're going to say, well, we built bridges in order that the Yeshiva Baruch Hu should be able to come from New Jersey to learn in New York, or they should be able to travel to Yerushalayim. And then the other is going to say, well, we made highways in order that the Yeshiva Baruch Hu should be able to go to the Yeshiva to learn. And they made telephones in order that everyone should be able to learn Daf Yomi over the telephone. And they made the internet in order that everyone should listen to Shurim over the internet. And every Goyish nation is going to come. They're going to want to have their reward. And they made shopping malls in order that the Talmid Chacham shouldn't have to waste so much time. Bittul Torah, they'll save time, 1, 2, 3, they go shop. Everybody created everything. Everybody did all the work in the world in order that the Jewish people should be learning. So the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to say, a bunch of liars. What are you, crazy? He's going to punish all of them. He's not going to reward them. The Rav Elbel asked, how can it be? And the Yom HaDin, how can it be? The Ribbono Shel Olam says, whoever was involved in learning Torah, whoever supported Torah, should come and get reward. How can it be they're going to think they're going to get away with such a lie? So he says, in a certain sense, it's not a lie. Because the way the Rambam described in the Hakadamah to the Pirush HaMishnayos, the Ribbono Shel Olam has a super plan. Why they built the bridges, and what was their immediate motivation for paving the highways? They did it for their zaynus and to collect their taxes and whatever, for their own purposes. But in the overall plan of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the tachlis of everything was Reishis Bishvil Yisrael and Bishvil HaTorah. Reishis is Klal Yisrael, Reishis Tvos Al Hashem, and Reishis is the Torah. So the tachlis of everything in the world was to support Torah. So that's where all the Yom Solom will come. And it'll be a correct taina. They want to get reward because lemais, everything that they did, the internet did enhance learning Torah, and the printing press did enhance learning Torah, and the highways and the telephones and everything did enhance learning of Torah. The Baruch Shalom is going to say, but that wasn't your motivation. But this is what Rav Elvela wrote in his. He wrote the Sefer on Chumash himself. He used to write the pieces and show it to Balabatim and ask them if they understand what he said. If they didn't understand well, so he would rewrite it. He kept on rewriting it to make sure it would be understood. Before it was printed, so they used to say it over in the name of Rav Elvela. So they quote in the Pi Ashmua that Rav Baruch Ber was a Talmud of Rav Chaim. So he said, for sure, Rav Avalis Pshat is the emes of Pshat in the Gemara. That's the Rebbe's son. Chaim was the Rebbe. That's the Rebbe's son for sure. That's the Pshat. But he thinks it's still a chutzpah on the part of the Yom HaSailam. Even with the emes of Pshat, he thinks that it's still a chutzpah that they're going to demand reward because of the fact that their highways and that their internet helped people on Torah. But that's the theme of this medrash, that all of the stones were vying with each other. Everything in the world is yearning to serve in Avodas Hashem, because that was the whole taklus of the whole B'yah Shemayim
Bar. So when you say the mitzvahs to Chantz Kuvara, so they were doing mitzvahs with everything they did, even if their intention was something else, just
yeah, sometimes you have kavanah shalol, let's say, so we assume that you're not yet. Sure. They had a kavanah to do an avera. They did all these things l'shem avera. So they're not going to get reward for the fact that it happened bimikre, happened to turn out that it was l'tayvo. I remember many years ago, some 50 years ago, some Gerer Rebbe died. I don't know which one it was, Nimrei Emes, I don't know whoever it was. So after he died, I was in America, so after he died, they published pamphlets with stories and Midas Chassidus from that Gerer Rebbe who died. So one of the stories I remember runs as follows, that a Sofer came to the Rebbe, and he was sort of bragging to the Rebbe that when he does his Safras work, when he writes Tefillin and Mezuzahs in Sifrei Torah, so he's very medakdek, even though the Gemara says... in Shabbos, Masechah Shabbos in Kol Kisvei, the Gemara says that you're not allowed to use Or Behema Tmeya to write a Sefer Torah. But Or Behema Tahora, even if it's in the Vela Trefa, may be used, as long as it's a Min Tahor. You can't use a horse leather, but you can use cow's hide, even though it turned out to be a Trefa on a Vela. So this Sefer, the Chassid was bringing to the Rebbe that he's Machbet on that, only Glat Kosher. He only uses hide from blood kosher animals. So the Rebbe told him, I would recommend you should do just the reverse. You should use Dafkin in the Velas at Trefus. Why? So he explained, that's what they wrote in this pamphlet, he explained that the Rebbe Shalom created everything in the world, and everything in the Bria yearns to serve in Avodas Hashem. So the kosher behemoths, the glad kosher behemoths, where the meat is eaten by Anshei Shalom Heinu, so they can eat the meat, and it gives them the koyach to daven and to learn Torah, and to do mitzvahs. So those behemoths had that tikkun. But the vevas and treifas from among the kosher animals, what tikkun are they going to have? So other rabbi, maybe it's a better idea that you should use dafke, the hide from the treifas and from the nevelas of the kosher animals, that those animals should also be able to be involved in avodas Hashem.
Isn't that a piece of
truth
right there that quotes that if you're a machmer in a case where it's mutter and there's no really time hachmer, it's like happy kursus?
Yeah. If you're machmir, yeah. Well, the case he's talking about is bittel beroy. Let's say anisir is bittel beroy, and the fellow says, "I don't want to eat it." What do you mean? There is a din of bittel beroy, so he doesn't want to eat it. Means he doesn't accept the tradition of the Torah Shabbat that bittel beroy works. But over here, there is a din that you have to have min amuta beficha. But the halacha says as long as the min is min amuta beficha. So the chassid thought that he's just doing a lefnei mishuras hadin, a dikduk in the din. A chumra within the din. The din does require that it should be kosher, has to be a kosher animal. So the din only requires it should be a kosher and min. So he personally was machmir, should be this particular animal should be kosher. I would think that there is room for the midas tosis. So the Rebbe thought that in the overall scheme of things, it's better to give these behemoths a break and have them serve in avodas Hashem as well. There is another medrash that says v'yikach me'avne ha'mokom. When Yitzchak was offered on the Akedah, so Avram Avinu had to first make a Mizbeach, and he put Yitzchak on the Mizbeach, and then he took him off and he sacrificed the Ayalach and Achaz Basvach Bekarnov. So the stones, the Mokum that he bumped into was the Mokum Beis HaMikdash, and the stones that he used were the stones of the Mizbeach. So the Mefarshim all discussed, what do you mean? He knew that these were the stones from the Mizbeach, and then he goes and he uses it to go to sleep on as a pillow. You're not allowed to do that. So the Pashto says he didn't realize that these were the stones of the Mizbeach. But he says that after he woke up, he said, and these are the stones of the Mizbeach. After he had his dream, then he realized. But not in advance, he didn't realize. That the, otherwise it's Mila Behegdash. Of course you're not allowed to.
It wasn't Mukdash, though. It was a stone.
Okay, maybe it wasn't Mukdash. The Mizbech and the Beis Hamikdash has to be Hukdash. That's a good teretz. Maybe Avraham Avinu was never Magdash. It doesn't become automatically Kodesh. That could be its own subcurrent.
If Avraham Avinu was Magdash and you just left them lying around, then
it would have been something either. Okay, that's a very good point. It's also correct. We always imagine that human beings live on the earth and the angels have a dormitory in heaven. We have a dormitory here. The angels live there. So if you're going to imagine a ladder with angels moving about, the angels should first be Yordim and then Olim. They should first come down. How come he has a dream? He sees Malachi Alekim Olim V'Yordim Bo. First they're going up, then they're coming down. The dream makes more sense if it would have been first coming down from heaven, that's where they belong, and then going back up into heaven. So that's what Rashi quotes the Medrash from the Gemara. Ki malachim v'tzav alach l'shmorcha b'chol derachecha. The Rebbeinu Shlom sends malachim to protect the tzaddikim, but there's more protection, there's more divine protection in Eretz Yisrael than there is in Chutz L'Aretz. Obviously, it's a dead giveaway to different kinds of malachim. So the malachim in Eretz Yisrael are better protectors, they're better shomrim than the malachim in Chutz L'Aretz. So the Malachim Olim means Avraham Yankov is about to leave Eretz Yisrael on his way to Chutz to Choran. So he sees the Malachim of Eretz Yisrael are going back to heaven, and the Malachim of Chutz L'Aretz are coming down to take over. And then in the end of the parasha, when it's the reverse, when he's about to re-enter Eretz Yisrael, it says Vayivka bo Malachei Elokim Machane Elokim Zeh Machanoyim, the two Machnois, there was a switch of the gods in the opposite direction. Malachim Chutz L'Aretz are going back to heaven. Malachi Eretz Yisrael are coming down. That there's more Hashgacha Pratis in Eretz Yisrael than there is in Chutz L'Aretz. Well, number one, we believe in Hashgacha Pratis. Those who don't believe in God. I feel in Tim Sulema they believe in God. They feel that God is so busy, he has no time to pay attention to what's going on. So we believe not only does God have time to pay attention, he even knows exactly, he gives Hashgacha Pratis to each and every individual person. Otherwise, what is the room for prayer? What are we davening for? Rebbeinu Shlom is not going to listen to my prayer. He's going to take care of my needs. You have in the parsha, Yankov keeps on davening. He makes a deal with the Rebbeinu Shlom. Vayida Yankov, Nera Leimar, Himiya Lekim, Himari, Shmarani, Eben Azos, Shesamti, Matzeb, Yebeis, Lekim. He makes a deal with the Rebbeinu Shlom. Who says the Rebbeinu Shlom is listening to his deal? So we assume that when a person talks to God, God is listening. And then later on, he's praying to have children in the parsha later on. We do believe in the power of prayer. We believe that there is Hashgacha Pratis over each and every individual person. But we don't believe, the Rambam writes, we don't believe that Hashgacha Pratis is equally distributed among all people. All men are created equal, but some are more equal than others. So we assume that those who are Korav Hashem L'chol Korav, those who are closer to the Rebbeinu Shlom, so they have more Hashgacha Pratis. And those who are further away from the Rebbeinu Shlom, they have less Hashgacha Pratis. So that's why in Eretz Yisrael we assume there's more Hashgacha Pratis. The Gemara in the first Perek in Tainis quotes that pasuk. In case people don't know it from the Chumash, it's a pasuk in Maseches Tainis that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam really brings rain to Eretz Yisrael, and then Agav Eretz Yisrael, he lets the rain clouds travel around the globe also, because the world keeps on twirling on its axis, and the Melech it can have rain clouds only over Eretz Yisrael. But really, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is only interested in Eretz Yisrael. There's more Hashgacha Pratis there. We assume there's more Hashgacha Pratis by Yisrael than there is by Yom HaSoilam. That's what the Rebbeinu Shel Olam tells Yankov Avinu in the dream. He tells him the Jewish people, Yankov Avinu represents Klal Yisrael, that there's more Hashgacha Pratis over Klal Yisrael than there is over Yom HaSoilam. We assume there's more Hashgacha Pratis over the Tzaddikim than there is over the Beinonim and over the Rishayim. Rag lechasid of Yishmar means HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give L'Toiva and L'Roh. L'Roh, the Gemara has the famous comment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktikim svivam nisar ha-meyod. HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktikim tzaddikav kuchut ha-saira. When a tzaddik does a slight impropriety, so he's punished for it, even by Aron Beinoni, it wouldn't even be considered an impropriety. Tzaddikim are held because they have more Hashgacha Pratis, so they're held responsible for every little sneeze that they do. In the reverse direction, certainly so. Rag lechasid yishma, Kodesh Baruch Hu will give the Tzaddikim more protection than the Beinonim. So that's what That's what the Medrash understands. The Malachi Elikim Olam Yardim means the Malachi Eretz Yisrael were leaving him because he was about to leave Eretz Yisrael. And the Malachi Chutz La'aretz were coming down the ladder because it's a different degree of Hashgacha Pratis. The Gemara in the end of Masech HaShabbos has a comment on the Pasuk of Harat, the Yom of Akedmo v'Tzafon of Anegmo. It sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is promising Yankov Avinu he's going to get more of Eretz Yisrael. What does he keep on? Baruch Hashem keeps on promising Eretz Yisrael. He already gave Eretz Yisrael to Avram Avinu. He gave it to him already. So what does he keep on promising Yitzchak and he keeps on promising Yankov? The answer is, the Gemara points out, that Yitzchak got more of Eretz Yisrael than Avram Avinu got, and Yankov got more. When Yitzchak went down to Gror on his way, so when he went down to Gros, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him he's going to give him Eskol HaRotzah So'el. So the Gemara said that was more than what was promised to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu only got the Eretz Zayin Amimim, and Yitzchak was given Chebel Aza, Gush Katif, at that time when he went down. And then Yankov was promised the Faratz, the Yom of Akemo, Tzafon of Enegma, Eretz Yisrael is going to spread out. There's a din in the Gemara has an assumption that you can mimikadish arotzas noisofes al Eretz Yisrael. If the Jewish army conquers additional areas of the globe, so they can also be neskadish b'kdushas haaretz. Soloveitchik once asked, what does it mean kibush? Kibush means with blood, with the sword. What if you buy the land? It's also kibush. So the Gemara has a machlokes, but the kibush yochid shmei kibush, the kibush yochid shmei kibush. So he said, you mean to say that I bought my home in Boston, so it has kedushas eretz yisrael? According to the opinion that kibush yochid shmei kibush, we paskin kibush yochid lav shmei kibush. But if one would assume that we're tanaim without kibush yochid, so the kibush has to be dafka with an army, with a war, you have to kill someone. If you buy the land, it's also good. So he asked, how could that be? I mean, my home in Boston has kedushin. So he thought that the whole idea of being mekadosh arotzes on a sofa is based on the pasuk in the end of Parshas Ekev, I think. List pasuk in Ekev. Kol machom shetidrach kaf raglachem bo lachem nesativ. So the Ramban on that pasuk quotes from the Sifrei on that pasuk. Kol machom means afilu chutzlorets. Kol machom shetidrach kaf raglachem. Even in chutzlorets, if the Jewish armies will conquer the area, it'll be in the Skadish b'kdushas haaretz. We pasuk has to be kibush rabim. So Rav Soloveitchik thought it means it has to be contiguous to Eretz Yisrael. If you have a cup of water and you keep on pouring in, then it's going to overflow. So you have Eretz Yisrael. So when Eretz Yisrael is all full of Kedusha, then you can spread the Kedusha out. If you'll conquer areas and chutzlars that are contiguous to Eretz Yisrael, those will also be Niskadish. America is a different continent. It's totally not contiguous to Eretz Yisrael. Europe, Asia, Africa is all connected with Eretz Yisrael. So theoretically it's possible to be Mekadish all of that gigantic continent, Europe. That's why it's still so crucial in the history of the world. It's the connecting point between these three continents. So that's what the Midrashim talk about. If that's the Yom of Akedma, it's a fine of an egg, but also Lavoi, Eretz Yisrael will spread out, and our seed of Yerushalayim, Shetis Pasha, that Damesek, Yerushalayim will be towards Damesek. Okay.
Can you include islands in the Mediterranean?
Alpi Pashtus not. The Gemara in Gitna, in the first parak, has a discussion about the islands in the Mediterranean. Some of them have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael proper. The Gemara has a Machlekes Satanaim. Where do you draw the line? Do you draw the line from Hor HaHor till Nachal Mitzrayim? Do you draw it like this? So all the islands that are included there have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Lend themselves to have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael if the Jewish army will conquer it. Eretz Yisrael proper, if it's not conquered by the army, doesn't have Kedushas Eretz. You need Kibush Mechilum. So one Tana says you draw the line like this. The other Tana says now you draw the line, two parallel lines. You draw a line from Horahor, that's the uppermost point, wherever that is, Tripoli, Horahor. Then you draw the line from Nachal Mitzrayim, Vadi Al-Arish, and you draw it towards the Mediterranean. So then all of the islands that are included will have Kedushas Eretz, if they'll be conquered by the Jewish army. Tosfos in Gittin is bothered with the kasha. If you draw two parallel lines, so somehow they thought that France and Germany are included. It's in our map, it's nowhere near. You know, France and Germany will not be included in the two lines. They must have had a different kind of a map. So they ask a kasha, you mean we're Chayv and Trumas and Mises in France and Germany? Because it's inside, according to the way they drew the map. So they say no. It only goes on the islands in the Mediterranean. It doesn't go on chunks of Europe. So even, I don't know, parts of Italy may be included if you draw the line. But Taisus says the whatever part of the continent is not included. Only the Im Shebayam, the islands in the Mediterranean. So that's what the Gemara says in the end of Masechah Shabbos, that Yitzchak was zeichet to more of Eretz Yisrael than Avraham Avinu was. When he went down to Gror, he was given Chevel Aza, and Yankov was promised for us the Yom of Akedah, Eretz Yisrael will spread out even more than was given to Yitzchak. There was no kibush, no. So kibushim may correlate. There was no, even Eretz Yisrael proper, if there's no kibush, you're not chai. I don't know. What was the kasha in the first place? Yankov Avinu says when he wakes up in the morning, what do you mean? If I would have known, I would not have gone to sleep here. You're not allowed to sleep in the Beis Medrash. Not allowed to sleep in the Beis Hamikdash. Yes. My Nora Hamokam Hazeh. Ein Zekim Beis Alekim. The Moram Pesachim has a comment that Avram Avinu, when he went to do the Akedah, so he Avram Kuroya Hor. Avram Avinu calls it Ayar Samokam Erachok, the Har Hamaria. He calls it a Har. And Yitzchak, Yitzchak, Vasuach, Basode. So the Gemara has a tradition that was the same location, that was the Har HaBayis also, that Avram Avinu's conception of Beis HaMikdash was one of a Har. Yitzchak's conception was a little improved, his was a Sode. And Yankiv's is the proper conception, Kim Beis Elokim, supposed to be a Bayis. What exactly are the three different levels? That a Sodah is better than a Har, and a Bayis is better than a Sodah. So the different Mepharshim say different Shot. Usually what they assume is that Avraham Avinu was preaching monotheism all over the place. He was traveling all over. Anefesh Ashurasa B'choron. So that's like a Har. He wanted everybody to hear, like a person climbs up on top of a mountain, everybody should hear. And Yitzchak was a little more mitzumtzum. He thought that we don't have to go preach to the whole world. We should try to be public about monotheism, but not as public as his father was. And Yankov was a bias inside the house. And he decided that he's going to be mitzamtzim. He's going to have his children, he's going to raise his children. All his children were Jewish. He's going to raise all his children with the proper education. And this is the way he'll have an influence on the rest of the world. So if you put together the two midrashim, so Avraham Avinu was the one who wants to conquer the whole world. So he was only given Eretz Yisrael of the Zion Amamim. Yitzchak wanted to be a little more mitzumtzum, didn't want to conquer the whole world, just wants to have a Sodah. He was given more of Eretz Yisrael than Avraham Avinu. And Yankov wants to be very private. He just wants to raise his family as Yiddish children and get the nice shidduchim and shayim and play with his grandchildren. So because he's more mitzumtzum, so that's why he's going to get everything. For us, the Yom of Akedma, it's a fine of an egma. Sometimes people in Kiruv think that they're going to conquer the whole world, and then they're left with nothing. So they got to be careful. They shouldn't. I remember Rabbi Soloveitchik once spoke in a Chag Smicha. So he encouraged the young Mesmochim that they shouldn't develop a Messiah complex. They shouldn't think that they're conquering the whole world, and then therefore they're allowed to violate this and violate that. Chatei v'shul shetiske. They're conquering the whole world. So he said, if you make a couple of Shomer Shabbos, it's gevaldik. That's meridik. We shouldn't think that we have to chaparai the whole world. If there's a group of people who are interested, other am. So get them all to become Shomer Mitzvos. The Gemara in the first parak in Yuma has a comment. Vaydabar Hashem al Moshe Lemar. Such a popular pasuk appears in the Chumash so many times. So how do you translate that pasuk? So it's usually translated, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Lemar. Lemar means colon. In modern Hebrew, we would put a colon. You wouldn't need the word lema. So the Gemara understands that lema doesn't mean that. Lema li Yisrael. Adab Hashem al Moshe, lema li Yisrael. That if not for the fact that the Rabbanu Shel Olam gave Moshe Rabbeinu permission to tell over the dinim to the Bnei Yisrael, would have been understood that he's not allowed to tell over the dinim. Whenever any, and the Gemara derives from that pasuk, Adab Hashem al Moshe lema. Whenever anybody tells you any information, he's supposed to hold it in confidence unless he gives you explicit permission. Let's say the guy says he doesn't get along with his wife, he has trouble with his children, he doesn't get along with his boss, he's considering switching his job, whatever. So it's assumed that whatever a person tells you is supposed to be held in confidence. The Chafetz Chaim quotes this din in his Sefer on Lashon Hara. He talks about the things that you're not allowed to talk about, so you're not allowed to tell over the private information that someone else tells you. Yeah, that's a double push. A person tells me he doesn't get along with his wife, and he doesn't get along with his children, doesn't get along with his boss. That's for sure private. But even if the Rebbe Shlomo tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I didn't have tzitzis and tefillin, and shofar and sukkah, it's also understood that it's supposed to be private unless he adds on lemar. So the problem is, if that's what the word lemar means, lemar li Yisrael. So how do you read the pasuk? Vayida yankev neder lemar, emi elikimi madi. How do you translate the word lemar? So Tosfos on the first daf in Chulin quotes the Medrash on this pasuk, lemar l'doros. Vayida yankev neder, Yankev Avinu took a neder, lemar to teach all the future generations that we should also take a neder. And mikan, from this pasuk we derive shemitzvah lida be'eis tzora. Although normally we would recommend to people they should never take any nedarim. It's not a wise thing to do. The pasuk says in Koheles Tova shel Atidor, mishetidor velo tishalim. It's better not to take a neder at all, rather than to take a neder and not be able to pay up. So these are two alternatives: not to take a neder at all, or to take a neder not to pay up. What if the person takes a neder and he does pay up? So which is it? Still better, Tova shel Atidor? Still better not to take any nedarim. So that's a machloekes satanaim in nedarim, and it's quoted on the first daf in the Chulin. That's why the Tosfos is there. So the machloekes are mei rabbeinu. So one tana is of the opinion, tov mizeh mizeh shenei nedar kol ikar. The best thing is never to take any nedar, even though the guy has money in the bank, he takes a nedar and he wants to pay the nedar later. The Gemara says, tov mizeh mizeh shenei nedar kol ikar. Best thing is never to take any nedarim. Not only Tova Shel Atid Mishitida Velo Teshalem, it's even Tova Shel Atid Mishitida Uteshalem. Even though it doesn't say that in the Pasuk, but that's what one Tana says. So the exception to the rule is that it's a mitzvah lida b'yesor. Yankov Avinu is petrified, he's running away from Esav, and he's afraid Pen Yehaguni, he's afraid Esav is going to kill him. So he makes a deal with the Rebbeinu Shalom, he says, Im Yeh Likimi Mod Yishmarani, if you'll protect me, then I promise you Kol HaShatitan Li Aser Asrein Aloch. I'll take some neder to give my sukkah. So based on this interpretation of the pasuk, that's what Tosfos quotes in the first half. And Chulin quoted in Yeridei. The third chelik Yeridei begins with Hilchos Shvuos and Hilchos Nedarim. So this on the first page of the first page, the Omer Aleph. First page in the third chelik Yeridei, the Ramah quotes this Tosfos b'shem Habereshis Rabbi, it's a mitzvah lidar b'yeis tzorah. Shach and Yeridei, it talks about Hataras Nedarim. There's a separate simit about Hataras Nedarim. We assume not only is there Hataras Nedarim, there's a Hatara and a Shavua, and even a Shavua B'Shem is also Hatara. Different opinions, the Ran and Maseches Nedarim quotes it with different opinions. Maybe there's never any Hatara on Shavuas. Maybe a Shavua B'Shem you should make a Hatara. Maybe a Shavua B'Nikita Schefitz you shouldn't make any Hatara. We paskin there's Hatara and all Nedarim and all Shavuas, unless there are two exceptions to the rule. Let's say a person took a neder not to gamble. Took a shvu. He's not going to gamble. He's not going to run around with women. He's not going to smoke. So he took a shvu not to violate an avera. So what are we going to be matter the shvu? Did she go do the avera? So you're not allowed to be matter such a shvu. Or the shach quotes that says in Shulchan Aruch that if the person took a shvu, person knows that he's mezalzel in the dinim. He has a yetzahara, and he can't. A lot of times he feels he can't control himself, so he takes a shua to be mechazik himself.
Only want
to
say fakir that the guy's going to be violating the avera anyway, that we should be matir the shua so he's not over shtei averas?
I mean, if I see that he's going to violate it, okay.
Right, it's like instead of being over the shua and also the avera, to just be over the avera.
I think sometimes you do say like that. Sometimes you do. But if he comes to ask us a hatorah in advance, so we say, no, observe the shua, don't smoke. He used to be a Rebbe here in Yeshiva. He passed away a long time ago. He always used to take a shavua, he's not going to smoke. Then every week he made a hataras nedarim with the bracha. Then he took another shavua. Then 2 weeks later he made another hataras nedarim. Every other week, it depends which week you were there in the base manager. Every odd week he was making a hataras nedarim. Every even week he was taking the nedarim. Yeah. He died younger than he should have because of all the smoking that he did. Yeah. So the Shach in Yeridei quotes from the Sefer Hasidim from Yura Chosid. There's another kind of a neder which we shouldn't permit a person to be matir. That is, if he took a neder be'eis tzara. A neder be'eis tzara is like a deal with the Rabban Shalom. I'll tell you what, if I survive, if you watch over me, if you take care of me, if you give me success, then zetach hazeh, I'll give you my successim. Or I'll make you, I'll build you a base on Mignosh. So since he made a deal with the Rabban Shalom, and he pulled through, the Rabban Shalom lived up to his half of the deal, now I'm going to make Hataras Nama, I'm not going to live up to my half of the deal. So the Rabban Shalom may decide, hey, he didn't live up to his half, so I'm going to take away what I gave him. He pulled through the surgery, or he was successful in business, or whatever, so I may take that back. So that's why the Shach quotes when they say for Hasidim that it's not right to be matter such a neder. A neder that was taken the Eis Tzorah. The Rishonim quote is Amaseches Nedarim, the Ramban didn't have a riff. So he wanted to be mashlim the Hilchas HaRav Alfasi. We have a riff. So he wanted to be mashlim the missing riff, so he wrote Hilchas Nedarim LaHaRamban. So now in the back of all the regular Gemaras, you have side by side, you have the Ramban, and you have next to it the riff. So on the side, you have Nemukhi Yosef is one of the commentaries on the riff, and the Ritva is the other commentary. So in the beginning of Nedarim, I think it must be the first page in the Riff of Nedarim, has a lot of the Riff reviews many Blat Gemara in one page. So on the first page of the Riff on Nedarim, he quotes this Gemara, Tov Mizem Zeshe and Noida Kalika, best is never to take any Nedarim, unless it's then the Mefarshim, the Rishonim quote Mitzvah leader, B'yez Tzara. So they say that's the reason why we make appeals on Sholosh Regolim and on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's not because people came to say Yisker, so we have a captive audience, so we got them, and we lock the doors, and we make an appeal, and we force them to give money. No. Sholosh Regolim is an Eis Tzara. The Mishnah says, Ba'bor Prokim Ho'elam Nidon. The world is judged. Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin, and Yom Kippurim is the Chasima. Rosh Hashanah is the Ksiva, Yom Kippur is the Chasima. Means it's the Gemara of the Din. Doesn't mean that God writes in a book and he signs it. Means the din is Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur season. So that's Eis Tzara, if you're being judged. And then Bechag Nidonim al Amayim. On Sukkot the world is judged regarding water. Pesach Nidonim al Tvua. And on Shavuos Nidonim al Peres Leila. So if the Mishnah says Ba'bo Prakam Olam Nidon, the whole world is being judged. That's a Mishnah in the first parak in Rosh Hashanah. So Yom Adin should be by definition treated as an Eis Tzara. So that's why it was always assumed that it's a mitzvah leader be a star. You make an appeal on these Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and Pesach Shavuot Sukkot. You make an appeal, and because they're making an appeal, so that's why they instituted that you should say yisker. If you're pledging to give tzedakah anyway, so you may as well add on. Let my giving of the tzedakah be considered as a schus for my parents and my grandparents who brought me up with such an attitude that giving tzedakah is the proper thing, the proper way to go. So let it be a schus for them. But it's not that they started the minhag to say yisker, and then once they said yisker, so they made an appeal. No, they made an appeal first. They made the appeal because it's an Eis Tzara. Or others say they introduce making appeals because there's a mitzvah of simcha on Yomim Tovim, and the Rambam emphasizes that based on the Pesuk Mechumash, that simcha, if a person eats, drinks, and makes merry, that's what he calls simcha sakeris. His belly is made happy. What is a real simcha? So the Rambam quotes in Hilchas Yontif, he quotes the Pasuk in Chumash, V'samachta ato, v'hagir, v'halevi, v'hayosim, almona, shebikir becho, yishibi misameach, the umlolim. Hagir, v'hayosim, almona, the people who are less fortunate than you. That's the way to fulfill simcha. You eat and you drink and you make merry, that's simcha sakeres. And a higher level of simcha is to give tzedakah. That's why on Purim, there's a mitzvah to give matanis levyen. Purim is a yontif like all the yom tovim. There's a mitzvah of simcha. So a chelik of simcha is to give tzedakah to the yanim. So the minig originated that you make an appeal, either because it's a sora mitzvah lead to be a sora about bar prokom olam nidon, or it's because it's an aspect of simchas yontif. And once they made the appeal, so then they introduced the yisker. We say that let the tzedakah that we're giving be considered as a schus for the parents or the grandparents. Yankov takes the pledge, he takes the net, he's going to give Maisa Ksofim, the Pashta. Shchola Shatitan Li, Asera Asren Uloch. In Rishonim, there's a big machlokes regarding the nature of the din of Maisa Ksofim. In the Gemara, it's never discussed, never mentioned in the Gemara. the source is in the Sifrei, the Tosis in the first parak in Tainus, around the Testament Aleph. So Tosis quotes from the Sifrei on the Pesuk in Re'ei, Aser ti aser es kol tuva zarecha yotze aser rishona shona. Why does it say twice Aser ti aser? So once it goes on Maisa Tvua, once goes on Maisa Ksofim. That there's a mitzvah to give Maisa Ksofim to Lomdei Torah. That's the Lashon of the Sifrei. You should take Maisa Ksofim and support Yeshiva. So some Rishonim say that it's a drasha gemura deraisa, that the Sifrei learns that from a drasha, it's a real din deraisa. Some Rishonim hold like that. Taisus writes, Bekamim Bekamim, that you can never tell. A drasha and the Sifrei is very often only an asmachta. There's so many dinim the Rabbanan that the Sifrei is masal hamsukim. So that's why most of the posts can reject that. That's out of the question. We don't accept that opinion. There is such an opinion. It sounds like the Raivit in Hasogas on the Balamod, the end of Chulin. That's the Raivit that we always quote about Hafroshas, Trumas, and Maises from Shar Minim, other than Dogon Tirish Vayitzi. You're not Mukhuyib Menatar, but if you're Mafresh Itzchal. So in the middle of that, he sounds like he's saying that Maisek Sofim is a real Din Daraisa also. So that's not the accepted opinion. We assume that Maisek Sofim is not Daraisa. The question is, there's still two possibilities. There's a long taz about this, Mishin Lam and Aleph in Yeridei. The Chabad, the Shulchan Aruch put all the dinim of Mitzvah Satlis Baritz, all of Seder's Rhyme. All of one sixth of Shas was put into one siman, Shin Lam and Aleph. Because the Torah lived in Europe. Torah didn't live in Eretz Yisrael. So what's he going to write? All Arichas about Mitzvah Satlis Baritz. Even though the Chabad lived in Tzvas, there were very few Jewish farmers. Rabbi Borstein mentioned when he gave the talk last week the lotion that the Achrenim have. They wrote jokingly that if a Jew would own a farm and plant something, probably nothing would grow. Because there were so few Jewish farmers in the days they were busy writing Bes Yosef and Mechadoidi and other important works. Kabbalah's farm. So there were hardly any Jewish farmers. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch wrote all the Mitzvah Tzvi's words in Shin Lam and Aleph. That's why in later generations they had to write the Pas HaShulchan, the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon had to write more details regarding the Mitzvah Satli's Boretz. So the Taz and Shin Lam and Aleph, and that siman about Afroshes, Trumas, and Mises, has a bit of a dissertation about this, whether Mises Sofim is the Reis of the Rabbanan. Says, we don't accept that it's the Reis. But most of the later poskim hold that it's not even the Rabbanan. We assume that it's only Amidus Chasidus. Yank Rabbeinu took a neder, and a neder l'dvar mitzvah, a fine zach, it's a wonderful thing. If a person can afford it, the proper thing is that he should give Maisek Sofim. Achreinim, some Achreinim write a complaint. How come, how come nobody gives Maisek Sofim? And others say, what do you mean no one gives? Everybody gives Maisek Sofim. What are you talking about? So if you look carefully, they're both saying the same thing. There's a machlekes, how do you calculate Maisek Sofim? Maisek Sofim, you don't have to give on taxes. Whatever's withholding tax, so Rav Moshe has a tshuva, but all before Rav Moshe, everybody writes that's considered as if you never earned it. But the shaila is, what about food and clothing and rent? So do you give Maisek Sofim on your earnings after taking off all the tax, the federal tax, state tax, municipal tax, after taking off all the tax before you have all of your expenses? So those achranim hold like that, so they say, how come the Jews are not giving Maisek Sofim? The Jews are mezazel in this din. And the other achranim hold, no, you only have to give Maisek Sofim on the money that's left after you spend on your basic essentials, on the food and the clothing and the rent. So then those achranim say, what do you mean? Everybody gives Maisek Sofim. Yeah. Everybody gives a little more than Maisek that, and a lot of people give much less than the Maisek Sofim of the full amount minus the withholding tax. So that's a dion in Toskim, how he's supposed to calculate the Maisek Sofim. The Gemara in Ksubas on Daf Nun has a famous comment. Aser Asren Aloch, Yaakov Avinu said twice, I'll give a tenth. Why does he say twice? That I'll give a tenth, but then, even if he wants to give a little more than a tenth, but he's not going to exceed a fifth. You're not supposed to give Hamavazvez, Al Yavazvez, Yosem Michomesh. The original Gemara in Ksubas Daf Nun goes on Tzedokah. You shouldn't give more than one fifth of your total earnings, your annual earnings, to Tzedokah, Shema Yayoni, Yitztarach Labriyas. So the Chaimish is a maximum. Chavetz Chaim has a sefer Abbas Chesed where he goes through all the dinim of Tzedakah and Maisek Sofim and so on. There's a lot of beautiful svarim. So he points out that there's a contradiction in the Rambam, that in one place the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos, the Rambam writes in one place that we recommend l'chatchila to give Chomish. In the other place, in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam writes that Chomish is the maximum. We recommend L'chatchila should give Maisik Sofen. Chomish is the maximum, so it's a blatant contradiction. So he says, not really a contradiction, it depends how many Nitzrochim there are. If people are pestering you, if you have money and you can afford to give Chomish and people are coming from all over the place, then L'chatchila should give Chomish. He should give two tenths. But people are not pestering, so then you only have to give L'chatchila Maisik Sofim, and Chomish is considered the maximum. He works out more details regarding this. When he say Chomish, when he say Maisik Sofim. The original Gemara, Bu'usha Hiskinu, when the Sanhedrin went into Golus, the Gemara says in the end of Rosh Hashanah, as the Golis Golsa Sanhedrin, they left the Lishkas HaGozis, then they went to the Chanus, then they went to Yerushalayim, then they went to Usho, Shvaram, Tzipori, Tveria, different locations in the Galil. So the Gemara says, Bu'usha Hiskinu, on one occasion when the Bez Nagodol was in Golis and Usho, after the Churban Abayis, so they made this takona that Hamavazah Zalivazah Yisayasim Mechemish. Then Yerushalmi says, it's a real din derais, it's not a takona de Rabbanon. Sometimes we use the Lashon Hiskinu, and it doesn't mean a takona de Rabbanon, it means Dorash V'Hiskin. They popularized the din derais, like we mentioned many times. Gemara says Rabbi Chaim Zaka made 9 takonas. He and his bezin made 9 takonas when he was the Rosh HaSanhedrin. And one of the takonas, the Gemara says, was a din deraisa, that you're not permitted to eat chodosh on the Yom Tenufa Sa'omer. His mancha besa migdush ayikayam, so after the hakrovas mincha Sa'omer, so the chodosh was muta. After the Churban Abayis, the chodosh is also all day long till Sofa Yom. And you have to wait till the end of the day. So the Gemara says, if that's a din deraisa, so why does the Mishnah call it a takona? Why is it takona? The Gemara says, Dorash v'hiskin. The word takona just means he popularized the din deraisa. So Idi Rishalmi says like that. So it talks about there is an upper limit to tzedakah. You're not allowed to give more than chaymish. So the Rishalmi says that it's a real din deraisa. It's Bu'usha Hiskinu, they were mefarsim that din. So the original din in the Gemara, the Yerushalmi goes on, Amrazah is Vazi Yes Mechomish, about giving Tzedok, Hashem Eiyon, Vitztarach Labriyas, the Ramo, and Shulchan Aruch, both in Hilchas Lulav, as well as in Yeridei, and Kuf Nun Zayin, the Simen about Yarg, well, yeah, so the Ramo applies it to other mitzvahs as well. He says, if a person has an obligation to put on tefillin, let's say the guy somehow got stuck in Japan, and he does not have a pair of tefillin with him. So what should he do? So the only way to get to put on tefillin before the Shki is going to have to buy a ticket to go to wherever the Jews live. Maybe there are millions of Jews in Japan. I don't know. He's going to go to Hong Kong, where all the Jews are. So, but in order to go to Hong Kong today, in order to put on tefillin today, he'll have to blow in half of his savings. Is he mechuyev to do that in order to fulfill a mitzvah? So Ramah says, not mechuyev. He's not mechuyev to spend more than chaymesh in order to fulfill a mitzvah, even though it's a mitzvah saseh, shezmanu iveris, that if you won't do the mitzvah today, you'll lose the opportunity. He says, you're not mechuyev. So that's what the Mishnah Brura has, a pack of kashas, how can it be? The Gemara talks about the possibility of a person spending his last penny in order to fulfill pidyon haben, on himself or on his son. So you see that you're spending all of your money in order to do a mitzvah. You don't say, I'm a vazi v'zali vazi yesh mechab. And the Gemara only says it, Chaimish about tzedakah. You shouldn't give the tzedakah more than chaimish. And the Ramo added on that it extends to all mitzvahs. So that's a question. To those who question the Ramo, the Mishnah Berurah quotes that. Chaim will pick on the Ramo. Maybe it should only apply to tzedakah. Maybe it shouldn't apply to mitzvahs. There's a Shita Mukubetzes on that Gemara and Ksuvas on Daf Nun. But the Gemara says, you're not allowed to give the tzedakah more than 20%. So the Shita Mukubetzes is quoted by the later Achrayim, by the Birki Yosef, and the others quoted that if the money that you're giving is to support yeshivas, that's mutter, even one achayim. That's not called tzedakah. That's a different mitzvah. It's a different mitzvah. Pasuk tells us the way Yaakov Avinu starts giving tochocha to the shepherds. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, he's giving them tochacha. What are you calling it quits? You're calling it the end of the day. You're mechuyev to do a whole day's work. So the Rishonim already point out, if a person wants to give tochacha to someone else, you have to give it to tochacha in a fashion where you stand more of a chance at being listened to, of being that they should accept what you say. So you can't go over and talk down to the person and say, you shagit, you're a ganav, you're not putting in a full day's work. So first he has to speak to them, buddy, buddy. Achai, may I not them. First he carries on a conversation. And he says, holy brother, achai. Yes, I remember once I was on a plane coming back from Eretz Yisrael. Shlomo Kabach came on the plane, so he says to me, holy brother! He never saw me before. Holy brother. No? So that's what Yankev Avinu does, like, achai, me'ayinatem. He carries on a conversation. Then he says, hey, you know, what are you calling it quits now? Hey, no, yom gadol, lo yeseh yosef ha'mikneh, ha'shku atzon l'chur yu. Whenever you want to give tochachom, it says, hocheach tocheach es ha'misecho. You have to first become a misecha of the other person and then explain to him that you mean l'toivosai, not I want to give you musa to show that I'm holier than you. He's not going to listen. He doesn't want to hear that I'm holier than him. He wants to hear a misecha, that we're friendly, we're on the same level, and I'm trying to encourage him that he should act in a fashion that behooves him, in a proper fashion, not to put him down. Pasuk says that Yankev kissed Rachel. I didn't realize people find this pasuk so difficult. If we assume that Kim Avram Avinu kala tarkul shleinitna, so what's he doing kissing his cousin over here? Kissing cousins. It doesn't say that he hugged her. It doesn't say that he hugged her and he kissed her. He kissed her. Maybe he kissed her on the hand. Maybe he kissed her on the cheek. I don't know. I remember Rabbi Gerelich. When I was in Ashir, I wasn't going out with girls. I wasn't interested in the whole time, so the whole thing didn't bother me. I remember he was talking about the pasuk. So he says, and he said in Yiddish, just like there's such a, they came up with a new thing, coffee without caffeine. There was a big chiddush at that time. There's coffee without caffeine. So he said in Yiddish, there's a kiss without a kiss. It's a coffee without caffeine. What it means to say balaz is that the Shach writes in Yeravidea that the prohibition of kira basar only applies. So this phrase says sikruv means not only actual gilaris itself, kirav basar is also not allowed. You're not allowed to dance with a nida, you're not allowed to hold the hands, you're not allowed to kiss a nida, and so on. So that's only if it's derechiba. If it's not derechiba, so then it's mutter. So strictly speaking, to kiss a girl, strictly speaking, is mutter if it's not derechiba, if it's assumed that that's the way derech eretz dictates. We live in a society that kissing women means a little more than just hello. So we don't go around kissing all of our cousins. But strictly speaking, if it's not derech hibah, so the din is that it's mutar. But ishto nida, they made harchokas. Ishto nida is a different story. That's a separate gzeirah of the rabban. But if it's not ishto nida, so it's only also if it's derech hibah. So we stay away. There was a student here in the yeshiva many years ago. He asked me, he was a Baal Tshuva. Now he's very frum. Now he lives in the Meir Sharmi, has 25 children, 1,000 grandchildren. He's a Kanoi with the Turi Kaita there. But at that time he was just a new Baal Tshuva. So he comes and he asks me when his great aunt comes to his home, so she always gives him a hug, so what should he do? So I said, it's not Darachiba, she's much older than you, it's not Darachiba, so just leave it alone. He says, why you rabbis, you're all the same. That time, Rabbi Willig used to teach in JSS, Rabbi Chalap was appointed him, and I lived in yeshiva, he used to teach in JSS, and he taught American history in the college. So when he became the Menai Lev Yeshiva, he had to give up his class in JSS, and he had to give up the American history. So he needed to get a replacement for his class in JSS. So Rabbi Willig taught that class for a while, for a year or two, a few years. So this boy was in Rabbi Willig's class, he had asked him, and apparently he told him the same thing. So the boy says, why your rabbis are all the same, he's going to ask Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. At that time, you can call Rabbi Moshe on the telephone and ask the Shabbos. But the thing is, he didn't speak Yiddish, Rabbi Moshe didn't speak English. So he was speaking Hebrew on the telephone, apparently breaking his teeth, explaining the Shabbos. So then he comes back to me a week later, and he says, he called Ramosha and he told him an answer, and he says he doesn't know what the answer means. It was in Yiddish. So what was the answer? He said, Zainishkenar, something like that. Zainishkenar. So he asked me, what does it mean? So I said, don't act like an idiot. If it's not Derech Ibus, strictly speaking, it's Mutter. So we don't go out of our way, we don't initiate the hug and the kiss to the old grandmother. But if strictly speaking, it's not Derech Ibus, so you don't have to make a fool of yourself.
Wait, to your grandmother,
it's not Mutter? Your grandmother, it's not Mutter, yeah. But this was his great aunt. I think it was his grandmother's mother, the grandmother's sister or something. No, the mother or grandmother, we assume that all direct descendants can kiss their grandmothers.
I think it's the Sephardim also that do that as well. I mean, like Sephardim,
it's not Derechi, but it's Mutan, yeah. The story was told about Rab Shimon Shkok, that he had a daughter who married one of his Talmidim, and then the daughter died and the son-in-law died, and they had a daughter. And in those times, they were difficult times. Rab Shimon had a son who was not a Shem Shabbos, who lived in Toronto for many years. So this granddaughter was a communist. She wasn't observant at all. So both parents died. So she moved in, the communist granddaughter moved in to Reb Shimon's home for a couple of months, for a significant period of time. So on one occasion, then later she moved to Eretz Yisrael and she got engaged to a Jewish boy. So Reb Shimon sent her a mazel tov. He was happy that she was going to marry a Jewish boy. Then they had a baby boy, they had a bris, he was happy they had a bris. So they sent her a mazel tov, they had a bris, and then Reb Shimon died. So that granddaughter just died around 3-4 years ago. So they wrote it up in Israeli newspapers after she died, all the different stories. So they wrote up this story among the others. But this story was Yadua. I heard the story 50 years ago from the son in Toronto. So they didn't just make up this story now. That on one Shabbos, Reb Shimon came home from the yeshiva, and the granddaughter was at home, and her girlfriend came to talk to her, also a communist, not a religious girl. So Reb Shimon came back from the yeshiva walking with a couple of talmidim. So the girlfriend stretched out her hand to say Shabbat Shalom to Reb Shimon. So he took her hand and he said Shabbat Shalom. So then when the girlfriend left, so the granddaughter felt very bad. She wasn't observant at all, but she felt she not right to hurt her grandfather's feelings. So she started to apologize to Reb Shimon that she feels so bad that her girlfriend stretched out her hand, that she put him in such a predicament. So Reb Shimon responded, your girlfriend, in Yiddish, he said, your girlfriend didn't realize how improper it is to shake hands with a man other than a husband, but I did realize how improper it is to hurt someone's feelings. So that's why he shook hand. It clearly was not Derech Ibus. So strictly speaking, it's Mutna. So we have a Midas Chassidus not to do it, but if the Midas Chassidus will not be appreciated by the other people, so you revert back to the Iker Adin.
What about in the business environment? Very often it's formal etiquette that you walk in and in front of some of the people extend their hand. You shake the hand like you might.
To extend the hand, you have no choice. So what B'nai Torah usually do is they carry something in their right hand, or some, maybe something in the right hand and in the left hand, so that both hands are taken, they can't shake any hands. And then if you get stuck, you have to shake hands with someone, they shake the hands. If it's a person that you're going to have an ongoing contact with in the future as well. So you should explain to them sometime B'nai Chusa, that the Orthodox practice is that we don't shake hands. If someone stretches out their hand, I'm not going to make a whole scene. But our practice is we don't shake hands with women. So you should encourage them. The next time they shouldn't do it. See, when Lovin came, he says that he hugged him and he kissed him. And when Rachel was there, he kissed her. It doesn't mean that he kissed her with such a big hug. Maybe kissed around the hand, maybe kissed around the cheek, maybe kissed around the head, whatever. Pasuk tells the whole story, the way Yaakov marries the two sisters. So this is a Ramban, a Chumash raises the issue of the Medrash says, and we assume that the same is probably true regarding Yitzchak and Yaakov as well. So how can you assume like that? It says that he's marrying two sisters. Isn't that in violation of the Din HaTorah? So the Ramban has his famous explanation that Kodem Matan Torah, the Yov is only volunteered to be Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula in Eretz Yisrael. The Ikem Mokum for Shmiras Kol HaMitzvos is in Eretz Yisrael. After the Torah was given, so the Torah says the dinim apply as a loy plug all over the world, but the basic mokum for Shmiras HaMitzvos is really in Eretz Yisrael. That's the Ramban has this comment on the Pasuk in Ekev, in Bal Yoyim Shamoya. So the Pasuk says, Avartem her mi'al ha'oretz ha'toivo, that if the Jews violate the laws of the Torah, will be sent into Golus. Samtam is dvarayela, and we should still observe tefillin and mezuzah. So Rashi quotes the comment from the Sifrei, even when the Jews are in Golus, they should still observe the mitzvah tefillin and mezuzah. As the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu Hatzivi loch tziyunim, we should still observe the mitzvahs while in Chutz La'aretz. These should be as a zecher, so that when we come back to Eretz Yisrael in the future, we won't be stunned, we won't be surprised about everything, we'll be used to it already. So the Ramban is bothered with the kasha. What do you mean? We should observe tefillin and mezuzah and chutz la'aretz, so that when we come back, we shouldn't be surprised. Tefillin and mezuzah and chutz la'aretz is just as obligatory as in Eretz Yisrael. It's not for the agricultural mitzvahs. It's not for the mitzvahs atliyas baretz. It's a chovus haguf. Chovus haguf, chovus gavra is noig all over the world. So the Ramban explains over there also. He has a few places in Chumash. He says, yeah. But he says still, the ikar mokum shmiras kol ha-mitzvahs is really in Eretz Yisrael. So he said, that's by kodem matan Torah. Yankim Avinu only volunteered to observe the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. So he says, that's why when he was married to Rachel and to Leah, and when he came back to Eretz Yisrael, so Men HaShemayim, they had a seat with that one of them is going to die. So the first one that he married was Behetta. The second one that he married, that was the problem. So that's why Rachel had to die. So who killed Rachel? Yankim Avinu, because he came back to Eretz Yisrael. Lavan killed Rachel. But according to this Ramban, that's the problem. According to this Ramban, so why did he come back to Eretz Yisrael? He should have stayed in Chutz La'aretz. Anyway, that's what the Ramban says.
Because he should have stayed in
Chutz La'aretz. Yeah. The Maharam in Prague has a famous suggestion on this kasha. He thinks that maybe Kiyam Avraham Avinu Kol HaTorah Shelo Nitna only makes sense in Tzinenu Mitzvah V'Yoseh. So he says, maybe it only makes sense in the Inayna Mitzvah V'Yoseh regarding mitzvah saseh. Regarding mitzvah saseh, there's no kiyum. So he says, in the area of a loisah saseh, if there's no isa, then there's no isa. So it doesn't make sense to volunteer if you're Inayna Mitzvah. So Kodem HaTorah thinks they only volunteer in the area of mitzvah saseh. So Shtei Achoyes, that's a loisah saseh, so that doesn't make sense to volunteer. That's how he suggests is perhaps the teretz, the Tosfos kasha. Isis in Nida, Dav Samach Aleph on the base, presents Akasha, and they have a whole mirkachas of Terutzim, the Rashbam, the Rabbi Natam, and the Rabbi Yudah Chosin, and everybody tumbles on the Akasha. That the two Gemaras that seem to contradict each other. One Gemara says that you're allowed to bury a person with Tachrich Mishol Shatnas, that's in Nida, Dav Samach Aleph on the base, you're allowed to bury a person with Shatnas on him. In other words, he's dead. He's part of Mikol HaMitzvah, so there's no violation of Shatnas. Then there's another Gemara Menachas, but the Gemara says that when you buy Tachrichim for yourself, to prepare yourself after you're going to die, you don't have to put on tzitzis on the Tachrichim. But after the guy's dead and they're going to bury him with the Tachrichim, if it has four corners, then the Gemara says you have to put on tzitzis. Why? Otherwise, it's a violation of Loig L'Rosh, Cheref Hosei. So why the Tosis? Part of the Tosis is in Brachas also, the beginning of the third parak, and Daf Yud Ches Amanal. So Tosis is bothered with the kasha. Why tzitzis? Yes, tzitzis is a problem, and shatnas is not a problem. Why do you distinguish between the two? So the Rashbam has a fantastic answer. The Rabbi Natan has an answer of Derech Hadrash, and Rabbi Yudah Sir Leon says it's a machlekes hasugis. He hold this way, that way. The two sugis don't blend in together. So the Maharal Prague suggests on Parshas Vayishlach, he has this. Maharal Prague suggests a different teretz, and the Meshech Chochma rediscovered in America, he has the same teretz as well. We distinguish between mitzvah sese and mitzvah sloy sese. The Mesem Achav Shem Deptur Mikol HaMitzvah. So whatever you're going to be medaktek, as far as the Mesem is concerned, the area of mitzvah is going to be Eina Mitzvah V'yos. So he said, Eina Mitzvah V'yos only makes sense in the area of mitzvah sase. So by tzitzis, that's a mitzvah sase, so there's a concept of Eina Mitzvah V'yos. But as far as Kelayim is concerned, that's a loisa essay. So then there is no such thing as Eina Mitzvah V'yos. There is, in fact, half of the Rishonim hold like that regarding Chinuch. the Mishnah in the end of Yuma, the last paragraph of Yuma, talks about chinuch for children before the age of bar mitzvah regarding fasting on Yom Kippur. You have to be mechanach for the children to fast on Yom Kippur. 2 years before, if they're healthy, 2 years before bar mitzvah, they should fast the whole day. And 2 years before 2 years, they should fast a half a day. And before that, you should discourage them from fasting at all. If the children are healthy. If they're not healthy, so you don't look for trouble. So on that Gemara in the Mishnah Yom, it says that there's a din of chinuch on fasting on Yom Kippur. Then there's a Gemara in the end of Yevamos, the Gemara says, "Kot nechon nevel, zayin bezim mitzuvan afrishai." If you have a little kid who's eating non-kosher food before bar mitzvah, the bezim is not mechuyev to give him any tochach. Let the kid eat all the chazer he wants, no problem. So the Rishonim are all bothered. What happened to the din of chinuch? So there are a big split in Rishonim, two terutzim on the kasha. So some Rishonim say chinuch is only on the parents. Chinuch is only ain bezim mitzuvan afrishai, but the father is mitzuvan afrishai. Chinuch is only on parents, not on the strangers. And other Rishonim say it's not true. Chinuch is on everybody. Who said, why should you say chinuch is only on the parents? But they say the teretz is, half of the Rishonim say, the teretz is, it's a difference between a mitzvah sese and a mitzvah sloy sese. Kot nechel nevelis, you're talking about a loy sese. So by loy sese, there's no din of chinuch. The chinuch is, you tell a kid, enjoy the chazer, but don't forget, next year you're going to be by mitzvah, so from the time you come by mitzvah, you can't eat the chazer anymore. That's all, that's the whole chinuch. But you don't have to train him now that he should not eat chazer. But as far as fasting on Yom Kippur, that's not only a loy sasei, that's a mitzvah sasei. The Rambam writes, whoever fasts on Yom Kippur, hareza ki a mitzvah sasei. Not just whoever eats on Yom Kippur, hareza oba ba'avera, and he gets malchus. Whoever fasts on Yom Kippur, hareza ki a mitzvah sasei. So that's what half of the Rishonim write like that. That the din of chinuch only applies to mitzvah sasei, it doesn't apply to mitzvah loy sasei. Because the idea of chinuch is that you want to encourage a child that he should be enein mitzuvah v'yosef. The child is enein mitzuvah, he's not a bachiyur. Enein mitzuvah v'yosef only makes sense in the area of mitzvahs. Mitzvahs, I say, it doesn't make sense in the area of loy sase. So Tosfos says that kashi, you're not allowed to have your tzitzis out in the cemetery because loy l'rosh, but if you bury the mason with tzitzis on, so they have tzitzis, we have tzitzis, so what's the problem? So Tosfos answers, and daf yud ches and aleph and brachos, but there ain't a mitzvah v'yosef, but I'm mitzvah v'yosef, so that's why it's a loy l'rosh. That's what Tosfos answers. Other Rishonim say no, it's a right that this Gemara holds that you don't put tzitzis on a big damn mason. And the two Gemaras disagree with each other. Gemara says you can put on shatnas. Gemara says you have to put on tzitzis. So Rav Yudas Elion, the Bala Taisus on Brachas, he says that the two Gemaras disagree with each other. It's not, they can't blend in together. Others give the teretz. Akad Yankov married two sisters, so the Ramban raised the issue, and Gurari gave his teretz. Ramban says, Chutzlarz, it didn't apply. Gurari gave his teretz. The difference between mitzvah ses and mitzvah lo ses. Others say that a gershon is gar katan shana l'dami, so therefore it's not considered shtei achoyes. There is a gzerim of the rabbanon that a ger is not a person is not permitted to marry shtei achoyes in his gairu shalayom rabbanim kedusha hamor l'kedusha kala. But this is way before they made the gzerim of the rabbanon. So that's what others say. Avelvela Soloveitchik has his thought of a teretz on this kasha. He says that the din that you're not allowed to marry shtei achoyes only applies if you have issues Yisrael. Kodem Matan Torah, they could only make issues b'nei noyach. So an issues b'nei noyach, it's not shach to volunteer even as an einam mitzvah v'yosef. It's not called achoyes ishtoi. If it would have been ishtoi like an ishtoi lachem Matan Torah, then he would have volunteered already not to marry achoyes ishtoi. But it's a different kind of issues. Issues Yisrael and issues b'nei noyach is a different kind of initius. And that's how Rav Elvel interpreted the Lashon of the Bichas Erisin that the Rosh asks on. You say a bracha when you get married under the Chub HaShe Kedishonu b'mitzvayis of Tzivano al Ha'arayos. Tzivano al Ha'arayos. Gili Ha'arayos is an Avera. You never say a bracha when you're not violating an Avera. Let's say a person eats kosher food. So he says Shahakol. Then he says HaShe Kedishonu b'mitzvayis of Tzivano shelo lechem macholos asuras. You don't say a bracha when you shave. You say a bracha. You don't say a bracha, the Rosh says. You don't say a bracha when you're about not to violate an aver. You say a bracha when you're about to perform a mitzvah saseh. So what kind of an usach bracha? He told us not to marry our royas. Very difficult lashon. So the Chassam Sofer has that's the Rosh's kash. So the Chassam Sofer in the Tshuva has a suggestion, a new interpretation. Arayis means to hug your wife. It doesn't mean Gili Arayis. There's a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim that says that the Kruvim on top of the Aron Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, when Shlomo HaMelech built the Bais Rishon, they put in the Kruvim, so they were hugging each other, Kemar Ish V'Liv Yosa, like a husband hugs his wife, to demonstrate the Iskarvus between HaKadosh Baruch and Knesset Yisrael. Two Kruvim are supposed to represent Ruchi Baschem Lefnei HaMokayim, like a Zohar hugging in a cave. So that's what the Chassam Sofer says. V'tzibonu Al HaRois, V'Ribbono Shel Olam Kimein Eras to hug our wives. It's a little bit funny pshat. So the Rosh doesn't think like that. The Rosh thinks Arayis means Gili Arayis. So he's bothered with the question, what are you saying a bracha on Gili Arayis for? Because you're marrying a girl who's not on the list of prohibited marriages. You don't say a bracha on a Lois Essay. Rabbevela Soloveitchik says no, but you're saying a bracha on the Kiddushin. Asher Kiddushonu b'mitzvah Yisrael v'tzivonu. God gave the Jewish people Kiddushas Yisrael, and he gave us the ability to get married. Non-Jews get married also. So what do you mean? Asher kedushanu b'mitzvah yisav, v'kadosh am yisrael dei chupa v'kiddushin. What do we have that's different? All the nations of the world have an institution of marriage. There is a din of eishes ish by b'nei noach. So there are two differences. First of all, v'kadosh am yisrael dei chupa v'kiddushin. The Gemara says, v'yum yisraelim, there's only nisuin. Bulas bal yesh lahem, nichnasu l'chupa v'lo yiniva lo ein lahem. They don't have erisin and nisuin. They have either bulas bal yesh lahem, or they don't have marriage at all. So we have number one, we have and number two, we have a list of Gili Arayis. Some of the Gili Arayis are dependent on issues. Only issues Yisrael will trigger this type of Erevah. So that's what Abelvela Soloveitchik said in answering the Rosh's Kasha. Why do you mention Tzivanu al Arayis? Because we want to emphasize that the issues Yisrael is different from the issues Bnei Noach. And that's why Kodem Matan Torah wasn't shaykh to volunteer. Even as an Einam Mitzvah Yez, it didn't make sense to volunteer not to marry Achas Ishtoi. It's not Achas Ishtoi. The Ishtoi is a different Ishtoi. It's not an Ishus Yisro. It's an Ishus Bnei Noach. It's a different type of Ishus. Fascinating instance.
Wouldn't you have to say the Minas Tam Yaakov would have to be Misgayer them beforehand? So if he's Misgayer them, so before he comes into Kiddush with either one of them, they're going to be Bas Yisrael.
Yeah, even on the assumption that they weren't Misgayer before, but the institution of Ishus Yisrael wasn't given yet. So Rav Avvel assumes that even though he had a Kiddushas Yisrael, the Gemara says they're always one Misgayer. They were Megayer, Avram Megayer, so Anoshim, Misorim Megayer, so Anoshim. They were Megayer. It was an institution of Gayer, but it's still, they weren't given Ishus Yisrael yet. He thinks that the maximum they can have is Ishus Bnei Noach.
Is it a matir or a mitzvah if somebody wants to marry from God? Is it a matir or a mitzvah from Megayer beforehand? So you could say if it was a mitzvah from Megayer beforehand, so the mitzvah must have found a mitzvah.
Is it a matir or a mitzvah?
If somebody wanted to marry a non-Jewish person,
Geirus is Geirus, conversion is conversion. Is it a mitzvah? The Rishonim say it's a mitzvah if a non-Jew is interested in converting, so it's a mitzvah to help him out. It's a mitzvah about haftam esagir, some Rishonim say. Others say, what do you mean haftam esagir? It didn't convert yet. How can it say haftam esagir? So we give other suggestions. What the mitzvah is. The Gemara says it's a mitzvah. The Gemara says the favorite says it's a mitzvah. And the Rishonim are fishing around to try to identify which pasuk is the pasuk that's the mitzvah. Pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu had four wives, and then from the four wives he had 13 children, the 12 boys and the one girl, Dina. And Leah is having one baby after the other after the other, and Rachel doesn't have any children at all, so she's aggravated to death. She asks her husband, she pleads with her husband Yaakov, Havali Bonim Bimayin Mesa Anoch. What do you mean Havali Bonim? What is he, a doctor? What does she want him to do? So they're on balance. My Havali Bonim, pray for me. Your father Yitzchak prayed for his wife. So pray for me. So he says, I did pray. And God doesn't answer. I have children from Leah, not having children from you. So what can I do? He says he is praying. What kind of a lashon does she say? Havali Bonim, my Neisanach. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash that Mishen Labanim Chashuv Kemeis. an interesting attitude that we lead such short lives. How old is, someone told me his mother just died at the age of 99 and a half. His grandmother died at the age of 99. How long do people live? To have in the newspaper, the oldest living Jew is 117 years old or something. Someone in France, an old man. Okay. How long do you live? If looking from the perspective of the whole history of the world, even 117 years is not so long. He lived through a couple of world wars, okay, but it's not so long. So the Jew likes to live in the past, the present, and in the future. So we identify with Avram, Yitzhak, and Yankiv, and with the Tanoim, with the Amoraim, with the Rishonim, with the Achronim. We live a lot in the past, and we live a lot in the future also. We talk about Eliyahu HaNavi, we talk about the Yosam Mashiach, because what Zayin has Mashiach, what's going to happen? So we don't just want to live in the present. That's why the Gemara has this expression, Mishain Labanim Chashuv Kemeis, is only able to live in the past and the present, can't live into the future. So that's a truncated life. If he doesn't have children, he's not going to extend the children, the grandchildren, an extension into the future, so he has a shorter life to live. Rishoyim are usually only interested in living in the present. They're not interested in identifying with the past, not interested in identifying with the future either. That's what they had in the newspapers years ago, about 10, 15 years ago. The name of Amos Oz, supposed to be the big philosopher in Eretz Yisrael, anti-religious fellow. So he said, give away the Harbais to the Arabs already. We don't need it. Why should we identify with the past? What do I care about? He doesn't need a base. Don't bother me with Avram, Yitzhak, and Yankov. So the Jews are always living in the past and living in the future, always talking about Eliyahu HaNavi, Moshiach, and Avram, Yitzchak. I want to live in the present. He wants to enjoy Olam Hazeh. Forget about the past, forget about the future. So they quoted him in the American newspapers. They should give away the Harbais. It should be part of a different state. And whoever will be interested in seeing the way his ancestors lived 3,000 years ago, so they'll take their passport, they'll go visit the Harbais, then they'll come back and forget it. Forget the past, forget the future, we'll live in Olam Hazeh. That's what the Chazal have a lashon. Rishoyim b'chayim, kruim mason, because they only want to live in the present. They're not interested in extending their lives to live in the past and to live in the future as well. But that's how the Medrash understands. She was aggravated, I'll be considered like a dead person, because Mishen Labanim Choshev Kemes. The only way you have a chiyus is if you live in the past and in the future as well. Rav Soloveitchik used to complain in several of his published essays. And his drushes used to complain about the modern Orthodox Jews in America, that they don't link up with the past as much as they should. They don't really identify with Avraham Yitzchak and Yankov, with the Tanoim and Amoraim and the Tzaddikim in Europe. We have to live in the past more than we do. The Abarbanel has a different interpretation than the Possum. That she had the attitude, many religious people have this attitude, that God created man to serve God, and the women are only to have babies. That's the way they're subservient to the husbands, and the whole tachlis of a woman's life is to give birth to babies. So she says, Havali banim, my mesanachi, there's no tachlis to my living. So that's what the Abarbanel explains, that Yankov got angry at her. And he says, what, are you crazy? The whole tachlis of a woman's life is only to have babies? Let's say, do we know of any men who had no children, who accomplished anything in the world? Babacher Rebbe had no children. Chazon Ish had no children. There were a lot of people in every generation. The Satmar Rebbe had no children. He had a daughter. She died. Had no descendants. Yeah. So a lot of prominent people had no children. We don't say they didn't lead a fruitful life. Very fruitful. Very productive. They accomplished Chazon Ish. Babacher Rebbe. They accomplished a lot in life. So women are the same. If a woman doesn't have children, she can also. Sarah Schneer never got married. She accomplished a lot in life also. You shouldn't think that the only purpose of bringing women into the world is in order to have babies. That's what Yankov got angry at her. He screamed at her. And the Medrash says that the Ribbono Shel Olam told young women, you shouldn't be so harsh on her. When Yaakov Avinu is interested in going back to Eretz Yisrael, so he tells his wives what his plan is, and he tells them, "Aten yidatin ki b'chol kochi avadati es avichem." You know that I worked for your father with all of my, I put in all of my effort and energy to do a good job. and all of the wealth that I have, all the riches that I have, is because I didn't cheat, I didn't steal it from your father. I'm entitled to all this. I worked hard. So the Gemara has a comment on this pasuk. The Gemara says in Bar Mitzvah, there's a difference between a shamachinim and a shamasacha. Let's say in the summertime, it's hot in the house, so I open up the windows to get some cross ventilation. Then I hear that the mailman, I see the mailman outside, so I go downstairs to pick up the mail. So I leave all the windows open, I leave the door open, I'm only going downstairs for 5 minutes. Aganath is not going to steal anything from the apartment. I go downstairs, I pick up the mail, I go back upstairs, nothing happens. So what if I'll have a Shema Chinam? I'll ask a Shema to watch my apartment for me in the summertime. So he'll do the same thing that he'll watch the apartment the same way I watch. That's called Notar Kirinatri Inshi. He watches the home the same way the Balabas watches his own home. So the Gemara says it depends. And then Aganath comes, during the 5 minutes, Aganath comes and he empties out all the silver in the apartment. So the Gemara says it'll be a difference between a Shema Chinam and a Shema Sacha. Shema Chinam will be Potter. He's only Mechayiv to watch Notar Kirinatri Inshi. Shem Chinim is a Gavra Bacharikoi, he's a person in my place. If the Balbos is not there, so I point to Shem Chinim to watch on my behalf. As opposed to the Shem HaSachar is supposed to do a better job. He's a real Shemer. So if he's just not the Kedah, not Trinchi, he's still going to be Chayiv. So the Gemara understands that Yankov Avinu was a Shem HaSachar on all the Behemoth, so that's why he says, Aten Yaten ki b'chol kochi avarati es avichem. The Rambam in Hilchas Chiris quotes this pasuk in a different context. The Rambam quotes the din. The Rambam writes the din. Let's say they had a secretary working in one of the offices, and the secretary was retired at the age of 85. How many letters could she type already? How much work could she do? She hardly got anything done. Now they have this young. After they retired that secretary, they got this young person. Young person getting the same salary as the secretary. Young person does everything by computer. They finish the whole job in 10 minutes. The whole job that the secretary took a whole week to do, so the young person does the whole thing in 10 minutes. So the young person will say, look, I'm only getting the same salary as the other one, so why should I work so hard? I'll just do the same amount of work that the other person did. So the Rambam says he's not allowed to make such a cheshbon. A poel is mochiyav lavid b'chol koichai, and we learn out from Yankov Avinu, ki b'chol kochi avadati es avicha. So is this a contradiction between the Rambam and the Gemara? The Gemara quotes the pasuk to indicate that this is the din of Shema Socher, as opposed to Shema Chinam, and the Rambam quotes that it's a din of a poel. So the answer is probably not a contradiction. The reason why there's a difference between a Shema Socher and a Shema Chinam, because the Shema Socher is a poel, because he's salaried to do the work. A Shema Chinam is a Shema. He's not paid. Once you pay the Shema, so it becomes a poel on the Shmira. So the poel is Mechuyav Lav B'chol Kocho, so it's not really a contradiction. It's really exactly the same thing. There's an interesting comment that Machne Ephraim makes. The din is that a poel always has a right to quit in the middle of the job. The Gemara comments on the pasuk, "Ki liben Yisrael avodim v'lo avodim l'avodim." A Jew is not considered a slave unless he sells himself as a slave. We don't require that every Jew has to be self-employed to show that he's a free man. You can get a job by someone else. If the din would be that you can't quit in the middle of the job, then it's like that taking a job is an act of enslaving the person. So because the pasuk says "Kli b'nei sol avadim," we understand "le avadim avadim." So the poel always has a right to quit in the middle of the job. So the Rashboa in the first parak in Kiddushin around the Afyud Beis, also the Afyud Gimel, has a hechacha, he quotes the Raibin, has a hechacha from the Gemara, and it's a simon in Shulchan Aruch. There's a simon that only has one sif, in Chayshim Mishpat, that a shomer cannot quit in the middle. A poel can quit in the middle, poel chazab afilu b'emtzayom, and a shomer cannot quit. The Gemara has a case, a man gave a ring to a girl she should hold for him as a shomeris. And then he tells the girl, "I'd like to marry you, b'hariyat mekudeshesli." So she doesn't know what to do. The girl doesn't know what to do. She's afraid she'll take the ring and throw it back to the guy, so she'll be held responsible because she accepted shmira on it. So what's she supposed to do? So the Gemara says, "Don't worry. It's a shtika lachemat mois. There's no kiddush." He has to say "hariyat mekudeshesli" at the time that he gives the ring. She was already a shameris from before, so she doesn't have to respond. The Gemara discusses this. So the Rashba quotes the Rishayim, the Raivid. He comments on the Gemara. What do you mean? The girl feels that she'll be held responsible. She'll say, I back out. I don't want to be a shameris anymore. He's back your ring. I don't want to watch it anymore. So it would appear from the Gemara, that's the way we pass from Halacha, that Hashemah cannot quit in the middle. Apol yochel achzaba b'emtza yom, but Hashemah cannot quit. So the Machne Ephraim has a chiddush. He says if a person was Hashemah Sochar, and he wants to quit in the middle, he doesn't want to remain Hashemah Sochar till the end of his mind. He just wants to be Hashemah Chinam. So he says that he can't quit. The difference between Hashemah Chinam and Hashemah Sochar is because the Hashemah Sochar is salaried, he's a poil. So Paul Yochel Achzaba, to quit, I don't want to even be Hashemah Chinam. They can't quit from Shmira, but to quit from the mile of Hashemah Sochar, that it won't be enough not to get a Natri Inshi, you have to watch more, B'chol Koichoi. So that's because Hashemah Sochar is a poil. And the Paul Yochel Achzaba B'em Tzayom. So the Matan Ephraim, based on what he says, you see that that's what the Rambam said. The Rambam is quoting the same Pasuk as the Gemara, B'chol Koichoi Abarate Esavichen. The Rambam is not contradicting the Gemara. The Gemara says when the Pasuk you learn out that Hashem is Socher, it's not sufficient not to kind of not re-inshi. The Rambam says that the Pasuk is telling us about a poil. It's Hainu Ha. The Maila of Hashem is Socher over Hashem Achinim is because the Hashem is Socher is a poil. There is a din in Avelus that the last day of Avelus we say Mitzvah Sayyam Kukula. The last day of Shiva, the last day of Shloshim. It's learned out from a Pasuk. Pasuk is by a Zohar. The Zobah Minatoro can count Shiva Nikim and go to mikveh the morning of the seventh day. But the Rabbanon, the Gemara says, we don't allow it because it may lead to a takola. Shami over the day takola. But Minatoro, there is such a din, mikzah yam kukula. So some ask a question, how come you don't say mikzah yam kukula on Shabbos? Make kiddush on Shabbos morning, then you go to work. Call it quits, yantif. Make kiddush on Yantif morning, then you go to work. So the answer is, Mikzam Kekula only applies to a Malo, something that's superimposed on the calendar. Shabbos Yantav is a calendaric day, so you can't say Mikzam Kekula. But Avelus is something superimposed on the calendar. So what about a Chosim Shivas Yimei HaMishnah? Depends when you get married. Like Shivas Yimei Ziva is a Malo that's superimposed on the calendar. So maybe a Chosim Shivas Yimei HaMishnah is also something superimposed on the calendar. Can you say Mikzam Sayam Kekulai on the last day of the Shivas Yimei HaMishnah? So the Rambam Ipanu lived in Italy, lived in Panu. He was the one, Rabbi Yosef Karo, sent his Kesef Mishnah to the Rambam Ipanu to Italy to have it printed. He took care of the printing in Italy. He was an independent person also, not just that he took care of the printing on the Kesef Mishnah, but he's connected to the Shulchan Aruch. So the Rambam Ipanu has a collection of tshuvas. So he develops an ocean. Mikzah and Kekula only applies to Avelus and to Tumah, to sad things that we want to shake off, we want to get rid of. We don't want to be in Avelus forever. So they say Mikzah and Kekula, the Zav and the Zavo. They say Mikzah and Kekula, we want to shake off the Tumah. But if it's something happy, an Inyan of Kedusha, an Inyan of Simcha, so that, why should you shake it off? Why should you chop it off in the middle? You wouldn't say Mikzah and Kekula over there. So Rabbi Yosef Engel has a comment. And they say, Oris in the Gilyani Hashas on the Gemara in the first parak in Nazir, the Gemara says, we paskin that the same Mikzam Kekuloi, the last day of the Naziris, Tam Zirish Loshim Yom, so the morning of the 30th day, the Gemara says, you do say Mikzam Kekuloi. I, but the Pasuk says, Kodesh Yiyah, Gadol Peres Arosha, the Nazir has the status of Kedusha for the 30 days. So you chop him off the Kedusha. So you see, you can even say Mikzam Kekuloi on an Indian of Kedusha as well.
Could be.
So I remember when I got married, so the last day of Shiva's Man Mishnah, there was a funeral here in the yeshiva. Rabbi Palayev died. This used to be his classroom. It used to be a platform over here, a cement platform, because he was when he died, he was a very old man, so they made a platform that his voice should carry to the students. So that was the last day of Shiva's Man Mishnah. I think his son dedicated the room to the memory of the father, Rabbi Palayev. Yeah. So the son-in-law, I forgot it. So I was ready in the yeshiva, so I figured I'll go to Shia. So after Shia, we daven mincha. So the shaila was whether they should say tachna or not, whether they say mikzah, say kukula. So I remember asking Rav Soloveitchik, they say mikzah and kukula, so I no longer have a din of chosin, so they should say tachna or not. I didn't remember the answer that he gave me. So Rabbi Ganak tells me that the answer that he gave me was, I just remember the question. Ganak remembered the answer. He said, Rabbi Soloveitchik said that the Shivas Yimei HaMishnah is a Shiva, the husband is Meshuvah to entertain his wife. So he says, the husband, the Chosan, has no right to chop off the remainder of the last day by saying Mikzah and Kekuloi if it relates to the wife. Maybe if the wife will agree, this is what to consider. But he said the husband unilaterally is going to chop off. When you're talking about a zava zava, or you're talking about a person who's sitting shiva shloishim, observing shloishim. So it's one person all by himself. So you say a nazir. So he's a nazir all by himself. So you can say mixem kekuloi. He did enough kiyum on the last day. But over here, the kiyum has to do with his wife. So how can the husband chop off on his own? An interesting insight. The Ramami Panu quotes the pasuk in Tanya Sedra, Male Shavuazos. He says what it means, you have to fill in the full 7 days. You have no right to say Mikzem Kukula on the afternoon of the seventh day of the Chasen, because it's a Dovah Shel Simcha. But that explanation that he gave, that's where Rabbi Yosef Engel tainus against that. Rabbi Yosef Engel says, what do you mean? It depends Davka on Kedusha and Simcha, then you want to have Masifa Mechoil Alakadish, you want to have more. And in the Yonim of Tumah and Avelis, you want to have less. What do you do with Naziris? Naziris, you see that you do say Mikzem Kukula, even though it is an Inyan of Kedusha. Okay, we will stop here. We have a minute for Mincha, possibly.